Good morning. The scriptures for this morning are from Jeremiah and Romans. Jeremiah 10, 11, 13 through 15. To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? See, their ears are closed. They cannot listen. The word of God is to them an object of scorn. They take no pleasure in it. But I am full of the wrath of our God. I am weary of holding it in. For from the least to the greatest of them, everyone is greedy for unjust gain. And from prophet to priest, everyone deals falsely. They have treated the wound of my people carelessly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. They acted shamefully. They committed abomination. Yet they were not ashamed. They did not know how to blush. Our second reading is from Romans 8, verses 38 and 39. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God found in Jesus Christ. Thus ends the reading of the scripture.
Good morning and aloha. Well, I'm going to start with a little disclaimer. I'm really not a preacher, although I'm sure that some of my friends and family would say that I do preach at times. Actually, several times this week, I've asked myself, why in the world did I agree to do this? But here we are. And I trust in your kindness, as I know I am among friends, and I pray that this message will have some meaning for you. It's no secret that we are living in challenging times. When I hear the words that Linda Green read to us from Jeremiah, I think, wow, that sounds all too familiar. Jeremiah's words could easily be describing things happening now in our own country and world. Listen again. For from the least to the greatest of them, everyone is greedy for unjust gain. And from prophet to priest, everyone deals falsely. They have treated the wound of my people carelessly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. They acted shamefully. They committed abomination, yet they were not ashamed. They did not know how to blush. So, who was Jeremiah? He was the son of a priestly Hebrew family and grew up in a small town a few miles from Jerusalem, kind of in the suburbs. Around the year 626, before the Common Era, Jeremiah was given a difficult task and one that he was not really eager to take on. He heard God call him to be a prophet. Jeremiah's immediate response was to say, I can't do it. I don't know how to speak, and I'm just a youth. God, however, was insistent. Not only was Jeremiah to speak, he was to confront the people of Judah for their wickedness, for not following the laws God had given them. Before sending him off, God did give the anxious prophet a promise that God would always be with him. Jeremiah cried out to the people God's anger and threats of punishment. This was not always popular, and at times Jeremiah found himself imprisoned or banished, but he always knew that God was with him. He felt God's presence and was strengthened by it. If you're familiar with the book of Jeremiah, you know that it is filled with stern admonitions and warnings that the Judeans were headed for destruction because of their stubborn refusal to repent and to return to God's ways. Jeremiah himself was filled with despair over ongoing injustice, greed, neglect of the needy, and he calls out both the political system and the religious leaders. He mocks superficial reforms that do not really change fundamental injustice and warns that if Judah does not change its way, it will meet with disaster. Sadly, that sounds familiar too. Sometimes called the weeping prophet, Jeremiah grieved for his people and for the calamity that would come. We hear his anger, his grief, and his fear as he pleads with them and threatens the people in the name of God. anger, grief, fear. Those feelings may also sound familiar. We are bombarded daily with events and news that make us angry, fearful, and deeply sad. We can now witness on social media and the news ongoing killings of Black people by law enforcement, while racism and hatred spew forth on TV, in social media, and in the streets. We see pictures of young immigrant children taken from their parents and living in inhumane conditions. Environmental protections have been removed. Voter suppression is blatant. Women's reproductive rights and access to health care are being legislated away. And sadly, Christianity is being justified, distorted to justify it all. We live with uncertainty as COVID-19 ravages our country, and we lost control of it here in Hawaii. Some of us have been touched by COVID-19 in our own families. Our economy is being devastated. In Hawaii, 279,542 individuals had filed for unemployment by the end of last month. Calls to Aloha United Way's 211 assistance line have almost quadrupled, with families seeking rental assistance, food, housing, medical insurance, which they lost when they lost their jobs. And we are staying at home when we'd rather be out in the community. There is loneliness and isolation for some. All of us are being affected. How can we not feel distress? So we are going to do something different this morning. Today you get permission to chat during the sermon, but only when we all do it together. Many of you know I've been working with Father Michael Lapsley in the Institute for Healing of Memories for many years. Healing of Memories folks believe there is healing in sharing our stories, especially our emotional experience. It draws us closer. We all carry so many feelings inside us, and this year especially has been an emotional roller coaster. So this morning, there will be an opportunity to share. I'm going to ask every one of you to find your chat button. Now click on the chat button. It'll be in different places for some of you. It's at the bottom of your screen on some computers. It's up in the corner for some of you on iPads. And I apologize to people on the phones, but click your chat button. Okay, you got it. Now find the word everyone there. Where is everyone? So if there's a name there, it's up at the top of the list, everyone. And then I'm going to invite you, as much as you are willing, to type in a few words the events that have most distressed or affected you or impacted you emotionally this year or in the past few years, and the feelings you have felt or are feeling. For example, for me, it would be the killing of George Floyd. The feelings that I felt were anger, horror, and grief. So we are going to have 2 minutes for people to put their messages into the chat. Please begin. And the cue to end will be when the music stops. Thank you. Thank you all for your sharing. So we see that we all carry with us lots of emotion, lots of feelings about what's been happening and the chaos that we're living in our world right now. Now, let's go back to Jeremiah for a minute and back to see what Jeremiah has to offer us. You know, calamity did come to Judah. In 586, before the Common Era, Nebuchadnezzar captured the city of Jerusalem and sent many of the Hebrew people into exile. But Jeremiah brought another word from God to Judah. As strongly as God had rebuked them, Jeremiah also brought words of hope and reassurance that God would be with them. In the 31st chapter, verse 3, God proclaimed through the prophet, "I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, have I continued my faithfulness to you." Faithfulness did not mean rescuing them from defeat, but God declared that they were loved and would not be abandoned. God promised to be with them even as they went into captivity. Then in the 32nd chapter, in verses 33 to 34, we hear the promise of a new covenant. "This is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days," says God. "I will put my law within them. I will write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people." And the chapter goes on to say that people won't have to teach one another the ways of God, that the ways of God will be so deeply in people's hearts that we will all follow them. In her worst days, Judah was reassured of God's steadfast love. Now we're going to jump forward several hundred years, and we're going to come to Jesus, whose mother, upon learning that she would bear him, sings the amazing Magnificat, proclaiming a day of justice. "God has performed mighty deeds. God has scattered those who are proud. God has brought down rulers from their thrones and lifted up the humble. God has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away." Even before he was born, we hear that this will be someone who brings justice. The angels at his birth proclaim peace and goodwill. From his birth in a lowly stable, he is identified with the poor. And he leaves his land as a refugee, seeking safety from those who would murder him. It's a very different story than what was expected of the Messiah. In his 30s, Jesus emerges as a bold prophet and rabbi. Unlike Jeremiah, Jesus teaches of a God of love, not anger. He accepts and heals the outcasts and continually demonstrates and teaches a way of compassion. He tells us the hungry should be fed, the stranger welcomed, the sick and prisoners cared for. Jesus challenges the religious leaders of his day. He is followed by crowds and treats women as equals. We hear Jesus's anger. When he turns over the money changers' tables in the temple and accuses them of turning God's house of prayer into a den of robbers, he challenges Jewish and Roman governmental authorities. Jesus tells us to love God and love one another. He tells us that we cannot hate others and love God at the same time. He challenges us to examine our own shortcomings before condemning others. He calls us to action, to follow him, even if the way leads to a cross, as it does for him. But that's not the end of the story. Through it all, we hear Jesus' assurance that his Spirit will always be with us. Like Jeremiah, Jesus tells us that God will always love us and will always be with us. And miraculously, the disciples do, in fact, experience Jesus' presence among them, even after he has been executed and buried. He promised a Spirit would come to comfort and guide them, and it did. He also promised them and us a peace that passes all understanding. It can be really hard to tap into that peace in the midst of chaos and uncertainty. The psalmist reminds us, "Be still and know that I am God." I happen to know that being still can be difficult for some of us, but quiet helps us hear the still small voice of wisdom that lives within each of us. It allows our still speaking God to whisper calm and reassurance and guidance to us. Peace can come when we know that we are doing what we are called to do. Peace comes when we know our realistic limitations and that we are responsible, but but not solely responsible to help heal this broken world. As one Hebrew scholar said, "Do not be daunted by the enormity of the world's grief. Do justly now. Love mercy now. Walk humbly now. You are not obligated to complete the work, but neither are you free to abandon it." I found those words very comforting. I find that peace comes in the form of kindness and care extended by friends and family. This community of faith has often been an anchor for me when things have been rough, and I believe it has been for many of you as well. And there is great comfort in knowing that we will be there for one another, that we will always be the hands and face of God's love. Sometimes peace comes when we see signs of hope, signs of God's presence, or the movement of the Spirit, and we know that God is indeed still speaking and still creating God's kingdom. These signs are sometimes drowned out in the chaos, and we need to lift them up and celebrate them. Having said that, I invite you to find that chat button again. This time, I invite you to share signs of hope or signs of God still speaking and present in our world. An example for me would be the young high school activists who organized Honolulu's Black Lives Matter March. All right, so go back to your chat button and the music will start. And please share signs of hope. Thank you all for being willing to participate in this experiment of sharing together on the chat. I know that my heart was really lifted by reading everything that you wrote. It's so important in the midst of all of the chaos and anger and hatred that we're hearing in our world right now to lift up what is good and to see that there are sure and present signs of hope and that God is with us. And so that leads me back to Paul, who in our scripture reading today reminded us that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God. Amen.